Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Ooh. Oh. Okay, let's go.
Morning.
So, look at this. A Parkland Walk.
Parkland Walk. A post-storm as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been rinsed.
Yes.
It was the anniversary of the... It was, what was it, 35 years since the October storms of 87?
Was it really?
Day.
Right.
And you do tend to get a bit of a hoolie around this time of year.
I found myself in it. It came so quickly.
Yeah.
It also came down in like half time in the Tottenham game because we were watching it and then I nipped out for some wine.
Yes.
And then just found myself. I mean, trees have fallen over here, haven't they?
Yeah, there's a couple of
trees. I mean, there's loads of branches.
I mean, that isn't a tree.
No. But look there, they've fallen there by each side of
those
the fence.
Are that steps.
By
those
the
are
side of the steps. Right.
Yeah, no, exactly. I also went to the shop for booze. Oh, subtext sneaking in. And I was on the way back and I could hear in the distance. And I looked up and the sky.
Right.
It was inky black.
Right.
Especially, I was only went to the shop around the corner and a message from my wife said, I need to get back indoors.
It's going to really rain.
She opened the door and said, come in.
Yeah, it really, really went down. Yeah.
And you can see it. I ran up here this morning and the whole place looks kind of
strewn,
vaguely traumatized.
Yeah, sort of post-storm activity. Thank you.
But
look, I left a dog here. The hurricane left a dog.
I thought you'd think that was a fallen tree. You know, the thing
alive,
is, if you see a dog that's a tree, generally its bark is worth its bark.
Like it.
Look, here's like an actual it, like tree it. Up ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go up on the platform.
Oh, yeah.
This is where the, on the Parkham Walk, where the old railway platforms are, a tree has fallen across them. Kids are going to come and try and walk across that, or they would have done in the 70s. It's a health and safety nightmare. Darren!
Bit of drama though, isn't it?
That's a big old... See, Underwood would have worked too.
That's a big old tree, isn't it?
It is. I'm going to get you next to it for scale.
Yeah. Big tree.
As you can see.
It's a big tree. Oh.
So, I'm going over it. You follow me, Paul.
You can't get over it. You can't get under it.
You can't go around it.
You have to go through it. You can't go around. We're going on a bear hunt.
Oh, I'm just getting higher and higher. It's a fallen tree, but I've still climbed it. Hoo-nah! It's quite a long way down, that jump. Watch out.
I know, there's a bush there. There's lots going on, isn't there?
You're such a good spotter.
Yeah.
So we're a bit broken this morning. And it was funny because it's quite early because I've got to go today. So we got out early on a Monday morning. Despite that really not being in our nature.
No.
I was just so impressed. I came through Clissold Park at about 8:22.
Loads of people.
Never seen so many runners.
Yes.
People are so good, aren't they?
Yes, yeah.
I bet there's loads of people listening now going, well, yeah, I get up and go for a run before work.
Yes.
Well, we
We don't.
We salute you.
Yeah, we don't. We salute you.
No, because we don't really work.
The people who do that, it's great. I mean, we met at 8:10 this morning.
And that's feels, why we can't really see.
Feeling pretty sharp. And yeah. It is a real old mess down the Parkland Way.
It's quite technical. It's really challenging us in terms of underfoot.
Yeah.
So, let's go back to this day of yours yesterday. You were watching the football. You were drinking wine.
Yes. And that was it, really.
Right.
I didn't drink loads, but it was what I ate while I was drinking.
Nothing?
I started off well because I'm on my own. Rachel's away.
Oh, I see.
I had salmon, baked potato and sandfire.
That's a lovely,
which is beautiful,
stylish, yet well balanced meal.
And then I had a big bag of chili heatwave crisps and 8 salted caramel biscuits.
Great.
And it woke me up at 3:30 in the morning, and I felt terrible.
Yeah. You felt like the inside of your mouth had been plastered with biscuit.
And the inside of my stomach. In fact, I'm going to have a little visitation.
Oh, great.
Sorry.
Don't knock any more trees down while you're up there.
No.
Hello. While you were away there, I was kept company by a huge wet rat.
Oh, really?
That was nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, nature.
So, I've had a lot of nature this morning already. And what was your... So I got to bed at 12, and then I just woke up at 3:30 for like an hour and a half.
Suffering with the... Oh, was all that food in the evening?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just simple stomach ache.
I had one of those nights, because...
chilly heat.
My wife made her spectacular vegan kedri yesterday lunchtime, which, you know, because it's quite brunchy. Oh, it's fantastic. Anyway, I traditionally have that with a beer. You'll notice I was sober for October.
Yes.
And I held that right the way to York.
That's great.
But since then, I've want to celebrate a little bit.
Well, once that's happened, that's fine.
Celebrating.
Why not? Yeah.
And so I had a pint with my breakfast. And
you had a pint at breakfast?
Well, it's brunch, isn't it?
Right.
Lunchtime, isn't it? But it was definitely some lunchtime drinking, what my wife sarcastically or raising an eyebrow would tend to call a breakfast beer.
Were you wearing Union Jack shorts at the time? And
yeah.
Vindaloo, rather. Vindaloo.
Sitting with my feet in the paddling pool saying, "You bring it here!" I am...
It's really rowdy around the house. Post sub 3:30.
What I did was I asked them nicely to bring me more cans. Actually, no. As I finished the can, I just threw it at the house.
Yeah.
Pink!
Yeah.
Get him another one.
I've had it with you, look.
But I did actually, at one point yesterday, my son was getting something in the fridge and I said, "Can you bring me another beer?" And he said, "Certainly, Father. But you should know that
I think
films,
you're an alcoholic." Yeah.
This is what they would use to signify bad parenting.
Yeah.
I said, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
Just get a beer,
shut up.
Yeah.
You've been told.
And talking to them, what I'm doing, I think I cooked a really good dinner and put the bins out. So, you know, quite efficient. But
yeah.
Can't be sure. Can't be entirely sure.
So you're just drinking all day yesterday?
Yeah. Hours and hours. Like I was at a wedding.
Wow.
A one-man wedding!
Who's getting married in them? Oh, we're already married. You're married to me, aren't you?
Aren't you? Yeah. Oh, you lucky girl. Yes, darling. Gone to bed now.
So, in the evening, you drank as well?
Yeah, well. Oh. Well, I wouldn't say as well, because it didn't stop.
Right, okay.
It was the same.
Continuous. And this is a kind of, you're about to go on holiday sort of vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It was the first night of the holiday.
Because you're going on holiday after this?
Yeah, just for a little mini break. Cool. And what's nice about that is, we sort of had a mini break. This is all four of us.
Yeah.
Because I came out of the Yorkshire Marathon feeling fine, me and my wife had a nice time up there last weekend.
Yeah.
So
there's been a couple of holiday tours.
A
couple of mini breaks, yeah.
So my wife and my son went to Cardiff on Saturday to check out the university.
Oh, yeah.
And they were...
How did you find it?
Yeah, I liked it. And they were out all day long. But led to quite a fun morning for me. Kind of... I was picturing it like a photo story. They got up really early, they had to get up. They were there, you know, they wanted to be there by 10 in the morning, so they were up and out at about, I don't know, 6:45.
Yeah.
And I got up with them, helped them out, did the packed lunches and stuff.
Nice.
And then, I thought, oh, good, I can start the day, I can do what I like.
And start drinking.
I did my Duolingo, you know.
Right.
And then I thought, actually, I'm very tired. And I went back to bed. That would be just 7:30.
Yeah.
Went right off. Woke up. Thought, oh, and I looked at the clock. It was nearly 8:30. I thought, oh, I can get to parkrun. Jumped up out of bed. Put my running clothes on.
Yeah.
Because, of course,
for that.
I hadn't been drinking the night before.
Right.
So that was
a bit more
straightforward. And I thought, this is great. I'm going to make it. I'm so well done, me. And then my stomach went.
Right.
So I went to the bathroom. And that was a living nightmare. Then I cleaned the bathroom.
Yeah.
I still made it to parkrun.
Good for you.
Hell of a morning.
And how was parkrun?
Yeah, it was good. It's definitely 6 days after a marathon. But,
yeah.
But within that, it was good. It was sub 21.
Nice, yeah.
Nice to be back up at Highbury Field.
Yeah.
Nice to be back feeling fit. I've been through it last week with my, you know, I was feeling on the Monday, my legs were like stabbing the pains and feeling really odd.
Right.
And then on Tuesday they were just stiff, but that was fine. Had a massage on Wednesday.
Good for you.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Bit of self-care.
Yeah.
Didn't do any harm.
Me and my wife went for a run, lovely autumn run, and we were really loving it. And then after about 4 miles, we normally run about 10K.
Yeah.
So we were about 2/3 of the way around. And I went, oh, something wrong with my ankle. Jesus, something wrong with my knee.
Ah, yes.
And we tried to run, but we just had to stop and walk home.
Right.
Beaten. But by the weekend, we both felt fine.
That's great.
Yeah.
All strong. All good. I had a lot of... My running was a bit truncated over the weekend. I had so much...
Even on the road, right?
Well, I had a sort of 5.5-hour, 6-hour drive to Swansea on Friday.
The hills.
Yeah. And then I had a 3-hour drive back. Well, I got back about 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Just too tired.
Yeah.
Just tired out.
Tuckered out.
So I just chilled out. And then Saturday night was a night off. So I went and had an evening of raclette at Matt and Julie's house. Which I didn't drink that much, actually, but I ate a lot.
Did you cook yourself little bits of meat?
Yeah.
Nice.
No, it was beautiful. Meat and cheese.
Did you do it with the raclette at the table?
Brilliant. Yeah, it was beautiful, yeah.
After my first tour around Holland, Belgium, I had that in Belgium and never seen it before. And I bought one back for my mum and dad for Christmas.
Yeah.
In fact, I bought it and carried it around on tour for weeks, and it was basically a stone.
Yeah.
It's like I bought myself a paving slab.
Yeah, it's heavy.
I don't know where that raclette is now. Well, I know where it went, but I don't know where it ended up.
Yeah, it was a nice evening, but I was home in bed pretty early.
That was Friday night.
That was Saturday night.
Saturday night, right.
Yeah, and then just tired, went for a little run yesterday, did lots of writing. And then the booze, and then the storm, and all the politics. It's all quite tumultuous, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just,
I mean,
lots going on. So it kind of feeds into it, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does.
And then the storm, and do you know,
it feels like a pathetic fallacy, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Although equally, the nature of the politics is such that there's not much point us talking about it, because by the time you hear
it's so
this,
changeable. Yeah,
it'll be completely different.
Yeah.
I wrote a joke with Liz Truss in it that was irrelevant before I had a chance to tell it.
Yeah, well, the Mott the Wee Clock did the recording on the Wednesday, didn't they? She was gone the next morning.
Yeah,
so
that's right. I think that they did mention that you know, one of the reasons Mott the Week is ending is because news moves faster than old-style TV making can do.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, in particular with this whatever
at this time,
ongoing
this
crisis,
yeah.
But even with a different news cycle, Twitter and stuff, I mean, it just comes fast before you know it.
Yeah.
My daughter said, did everyone know Liz Truss had resigned in a politics lesson at school, or maybe English, I don't know.
Right.
But the teacher was like, oh gosh, yeah, everyone knows that. And I was like, I mean, I don't know. That was her telling of it. Right, so maybe the teacher was painted as something as a baddie. But this was news that had happened at 1:30.
Yes, yeah.
Being talked about in the afternoon. So they're saying, how come you don't know that yet? It's a bit harsh, I think.
Yeah, it is. And it also feeds into the idea that you have to keep abreast of everything.
Yeah.
And you have to keep plugged in. And like my... I was chatting to my mate over the weekend and he's in therapy. He's doing some talking therapy.
Yeah.
And he's just been feeling a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Which is one of those things that creeps up on you, isn't it? And then suddenly you realise you're anxious a lot. And I think a lot of people have that.
And it can be ongoing. You think you often put it off. You think, I'll feel better after this, I'll feel better after that. And then you realise you've been living with it for months.
You realise you're just constantly anxious.
Yeah, yeah.
And his therapist said to him at the first session, just initially... just disengage from Twitter and on your news feeds, because he's one of those news heads. He's on podcasts and websites, etc. And he immediately felt loads better. And then start to look at all the other stuff, you know.
I read on Twitter the other day someone saying, it was a classic politics conversation, you know, where someone was saying, imagine how terrible it would be if these people were in power.
Yes,
the person was saying, well, I actually think that would be good. And one of the things they said they'd like to see, it was a sort of discussion of what people in the street would like to see in politics and in manifestos. And this person was pro-NHS. Still about funding the NHS.
Yeah.
But they said, I'd like people to assess the mental health impact. Governments would have to assess the mental health impact of their policies on society.
Right,
I mean, I don't see that happening anytime soon, but I love that ethic.
It's interesting, yeah.
Because it just, there's this sense of being, you know, you shouldn't have to avoid the news to be happy.
Yes, yeah.
There's a sense of being gaslit there, isn't it? Like, well, if you're not happy about the state of the world, it's your fault. So you could make the world a bit better.
We do have a very... aggressive news that likes to promulgate fear as well, though, don't we?
Well, it's exciting, isn't it? It's news, news is entertainment.
The nature of the news is... I'd love to see some studies done on the mental health of Twitter and, you know, just general thing.
I mean, Twitter actually, and also, it seems like a long time ago now, but it did feel like in the year of... 2016, 2017, Twitter just... turned on a dime and became this, maybe it's just my timeline, but it just suddenly became a place of rancor and
anger and division.
Before that, it had been generally people just watching puddles.
Yes, or sort of telling people what they were doing or whatever.
Just look at that, we've just come into Queenswood.
It's amazing, it's absolutely gorgeous today.
I remember someone... I said about the news being depressing, and someone said, you should change your news sources. You know, I get my news from different sources. It's like, what are you talking about? You need is different news.
I
should read the Unicorn Daily and the It's All Right Bugle.
This is gorgeous, though, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely. It smells nice, too.
Newsflash, nature heals.
Oh, I feel sick again.
So you're going to get a bit of nature in the next few days, I'd imagine.
Yeah, just a bit. Ooh, there. Yeah, give me a nature.
We'll do. Well, I'll be drinking most of the time.
Yeah,
why start drinking again at breakfast, Mummy?
I'm going to have
gears of beer.
I'm hoping some of my nature will be fermented and fizzy.
Yeah.
By the glass.
Is it good? Is it good running country where you're going?
No, I think I'm going to take a break. Yeah. One of the reasons.
Good for you.
I wanted to get out of here and run with you, is to keep my. I'm in a bit of a weird cycle because. I'm in the 3 weeks between the York and New York marathons.
Yes, of course, yeah.
So this week, in a funny kind of way, not a high mileage week, but it's the week I want it to be a normal running week, you know?
Right.
Because I took it easy last week.
Good.
And next week I'll be tapering.
Yeah.
So, of course, last week's mileage was pretty good, but that's because I.
So how does that
26.2 early on?
So how does that tie in with taking a break when you're away then?
It's a 48-hour holiday.
Right. Okay. Right.
So I'll come back on Wednesday afternoon, do my exercises,
and then do 20 odd miles.
Go for a run on Thursday, and then
this
Saturday, dear listener, if you're getting this before the weekend, this Saturday, October the 29th, I'm going to go to Crosby Park Run.
Oh,
you know, the one that's on the beach where Gormley's and other places.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
Come there, Northwestos. That's a great park run. And And while we're on it, where else am I going to be? I'm gonna go to be in Cardiff first Saturday of December. Can do that lovely Taff Park part.
Yeah.
I think that's my 100 actually.
Cool.
And 99 probably be Highbury Field, November the 26th. Right. And then Brighton.
That'll be post New York. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hoping to be. I should get a proper good park run in before Christmas, but they're all a bit either knocked out by actual marathons or I'll be recovering from marathons.
Yeah.
Still going to get to that 100, so that's good. Unless my legs fall off, which is a very real possibility.
Just padding down round the back of Queen's Woods.
And the ground is absolutely covered in acorns.
Yes.
It's like crunchy with them, like it's been pebble dashed. So have you finished the Jonglers Tour?
Yes, the Jonglers Legends Tour has finished. We have laid down our shields.
The tour itself
legends,
is now legend.
Legends no more.
Will there be a disappointing House of Legends follow-up?
Back to the life of mere mortals.
Yes.
And so they return.
Like the rest of
us. Yeah, enjoyable, really good fun. The last one was great in Swansea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good laugh. I enjoyed it all.
I'll be
glad to see the back of the driving.
I love not driving. I was talking to a woman who gave me a massage about how I don't drive much anymore and also don't carry my guitar and pedals on my shoulders anymore.
Right.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But my body is such a game of two halves because my bottom half is all bashed up from running.
Yeah.
But it all springs back into place, recovers very quickly because it's trained up for it, you know?
Yeah.
And my top half, my poor posture and my clenched up shoulders, she's like,
hunched down.
Why isn't that getting any better? Oh, love.
What did she?
It's been like that a long time. There's not much you can do with that.
Did she have any? Did she have any tips? Did she notice tensions?
She had the tip of her elbow, which she buried somewhere inside my spine.
Yeah,
that was absolutely brilliant. Actually, it was deep tissue, so
yeah,
it was. It had. I don't need physio, you know, and so it wasn't as medical as that.
Right.
And so it had the element of self care and like feeling a bit like you've had the time and been to a spa.
Yeah.
But she really dug in.
Cool.
It's that classic conversation you keep having where she'd say, is that hurting? And you go, yes, but in a good way.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Incredible week last week because had the Yorkshire Marathon and then on Wednesday it was Shaped with Laughter for Parkinson's UK.
Oh yeah, how did that go?
At the Comedy Store. It's fantastic. It was a big night. We had more comedians than usual.
Yeah.
There's eight people on.
Right.
And the CEO of Parkinson's UK said a few words as well.
Nice.
So, but everyone was there right through it. And Paul Sinner, who was on last, played a blinder because it was at the end of the night. He just came in and smashed it. When, you know, the middle section was Brett Goldstein, Joe Brand, Tim Vine.
Nice. What a bill. What a bill there. Yeah.
And Ivor Graham was on. And then people less familiar names, still excellent comics, Ed Patrick, Sharon Monjohi.
Right.
And like during the show, my lifetime fundraising for Parkinson's UK hit £150,000.
Nice.
Yeah.
What an evening.
It was really something.
What an evening. Because it was sort of your sort of. Was it a goodbye slightly to the fundraising?
Yeah, I'm taking some time. I probably won't do that next year. And I'm
going
to try and maybe fundraising for
some other
things
charity
that are close to my heart. Just because, I've been fundraising for them for 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's all to do with my relationship with my dad and stuff. You
of
know?
Course, yeah.
I remain Galadriel and retreat into the West. But I've said it before, and it's hard to step away from these things. It's probably going to be I think the difference between me not doing it and doing it is going to be fairly imperceptible.
Yeah. And Sinner's obviously going to storm it because he's a brilliant comic, but he has Parkinson's, doesn't he?
That's right.
Yeah.
He's really hot on it, but he was so, also in terms of him potentially not being well, he was really on fire.
Right.
It was that sense of, he had that match fitness of using a completely different gear because of what was happening in the show, you know?
Yeah.
He just really, it was very Biff Baff Bosh kind of set.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, he's a great comic.
We also had Paul Mayhew Archer, who
right.
is someone with Parkinson's who does comedy about it.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. He's much older, and he didn't start doing stand-up, you know.
Yeah, yes.
He didn't start doing stand-up until he had Parkinson's. But the great trick of that for audiences is he's been working in comedy his whole life. He's a comedy writer, producer,
right.
did the Record Dibbly, stuff like this.
Yeah.
So people think, oh, well, we'll do the right thing and we'll watch this older guy who
yes.
lives with Parkinson's. And then he's so funny.
And then he's great.
Yeah. He's absolutely excellent.
Perfect.
It was good to see the kind of celeb Parkinson's community because Jeremy Paxman and David Jensen were in the audience as well.
Wow, okay.
And they were,
sounds fantastic.
As you'd expect, David Kid Jensen was slightly more friendly than Jeremy Paxman.
Right, right, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you've got to be
quite
where you're at, haven't you?
It's quite refreshing in a way.
Yeah.
That it hasn't made him any more friendly.
Yeah, I did some comedy about University Challenge before I knew who was in. I think I'd have fumbled that quite badly.
Yeah. And how was Tim Vine? I haven't seen him in ages, Tim.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
He did Pen Behind the Ear again.
Oh, right, yeah, nice. Yeah,
that's really high octane stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
And yeah, he was really good, but he was he's the same, you know?
Yeah.
Like so many of us, I think. Comedians more than other people. You don't see someone for a couple of years and they walk into the dressing room and think, here we are.
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, I haven't seen him since pre the dark days. But I've chatted to him a little bit on various medias and, you know, messaging and stuff.
We talk mainly about darts.
Yeah.
Did you see...
Big darts fan.
Friday Night Live.
I did not see it, no. Did you see it?
Yeah, I watched it. I saw people talking about it online. I thought,
right.
This sounds good. And people seemed pleasantly surprised. And I watched it with my daughter, which is great because she's 16 and woke as you like. And it was, I thought it was great.
Right.
I enjoyed it a lot and I loved the way, I felt like whether you liked it or you didn't like it, it felt like they'd made one really good decision and
right.
stuck with it,
right.
which was that they were going to make it completely to the template of what it used to be.
Yes, that's
so
interesting.
So it's not just live, it's not just Ben Elton, it's... The content was just exactly how it would have been back then in terms
right.
of being high wire and political and,
yes, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
And but not like not in aspic. It wasn't like a tribute to it.
Right.
So that it did have Julian Clary and Joe Brand, but they were who they are now.
Right.
And Harry Enfield.
Nice.
And also all the young comics, you know, and they were... I think the young comics are great. But again, it wasn't, you know, I thought loads of it worked.
Yeah.
But it was that one of those things where the bits didn't work.
Some
you're
bits.
Like, that's fair enough.
Some bits will, some bits won't.
This is the nature of the beast, you
yeah.
know. Certainly remember that from when it was on in the 80s.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My family. Never again. I was going to say my family. My daughter.
Yeah.
But no, to some extent the others. They have this thing where they sort of sniff Christmas on the wind.
Right.
And they say, no, we're not supposed to talk about Christmas yet, but. Because our birthday's at the end of November. But they're right about it. You see the berries on the holly.
Yes, yeah,
as
yeah.
As that storm comes through.
Yeah,
Christmas is going to come
around.
About
60 days, isn't it? Yeah. What was it like seeing Ben Elton out there then?
Well, I thought he was excellent. But again, right. It's that funny thing. He was very, obviously just really put the work in. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It was very incredibly solid what he was doing. And it was incredibly him.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, I wonder what it must be like if you didn't see it. Because I thought it was just amazing to see. He was the quintessence of what I was just saying. He was exactly the same as he was in, you know, the mid-80s. But it was now, and he was talking about now things.
Yes.
And he was, of course, 35 years older, you know.
Yeah. Did he do his double seat, got to get a double seat?
No, but he did say Thatch a couple of times.
Yes,
yeah. And as such, I was saying,
I'm pushing in.
We were chatting about how I was saying to my daughter that he's got quite a mannered delivery.
Yes,
but
he has.
But what you've got to remember is that most people used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the basic rhythm of stand-up has changed massively.
Yes.
I think even...
It's much more sort of conversational now, isn't it?
Exactly, and I think it's influenced by the rest of the culture, by reality TV and the idea that normal people can just be famous people. You know, the idea of the people on Gogglebox being celebrities. It would have been weird in the 80s. It's like when you see early 80s pop stars. So basically, they're people finding ways to use the fact that they're terrified.
Yeah.
To be, you know, this is why they're often quite kind of jerky.
Yes.
Or
seem
really angry or just stylized.
Yes.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
And
synchronized.
People have synchronized, stylized, and that's, you know, so to see someone doing that is quite interesting for her.
Yeah.
Because you know, he's like, also, this is essentially a script.
I mean, Ben Elton came through when rooms were tough, you know, and so you had to be really strong and muscular delivery and get the end of those sentences.
Yes, and conversely,
you've got your double seat and we are sorted.
Yeah, and the sense of it being a sequence, doing a sequence like a song.
Yes.
Remember when Hugh Thomas down at the old King's Head used to do his thing about riding there on a motorbike, chop round the roundabout, give it a handful, that's the thing. Alexis Sayo used to do the same routine, which in itself is very old-fashioned. And it played like a song. It was like, do that, or like old comedy albums, you know.
Yeah.
We get this in the modern age. You know, Tim Vine is also a product of this.
Yes.
And so is Stuart Lee.
Yeah.
And Joe Brand.
But a lot of acts coming through, it's like concealing jokes. I just happen to be telling jokes, but you might have to find them. And,
yes.
And slightly more forgiving audiences as well. That's sort of
except
what they want.
The weird thing is that an audience get cross if they see you telling a joke.
Yeah.
Which always seems unreasonable to me.
Yes.
I refer you to the title of the evening, A Comedy Night.
This also happens online.
Right.
As someone who likes a good, solid joke.
Yeah.
And I am talking to you, some of our running commentary listeners. You don't have to go, ooh, every time a comedian does a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
There's actually a difference between a formatted joke and a terrible joke.
Yeah.
So if I do a joke that seems old-fashioned to you, check again whether it actually is rubbish.
Yeah.
Because they're probably quite good ones. So it's really just fascinating.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look at it. I wonder whether it'll back on a semi-regular basis or whether it will be just a one-off. Because always within those things is contained a pilot.
Yes, absolutely. Know. I think that they would... It was very... it pushed a lot of buttons.
Yeah.
And it was very... It was quite actively, what's the word? Anti-establishment.
Yeah.
And I think if it existed long form, then it would be a huge plank in the culture wars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think Nadine Dorries would have liked it.
It might be a way of your daughter's generation getting into stand-up, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, some of the generation were on it.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
These guys are young.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy, what's his name? Leo Reich. He's very good.
Yeah, I've heard he's great.
Yeah. I think that they were quite upfront about kind of going to, which is again something lots of people in comedy would roll their eyes at, including, you know, people younger than us.
Yeah.
That they went to the Edinburgh Festival
and just got the cream.
And came back.
Yes.
With the top acts, but well, it's a way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's say they were.
It is for that kind of show.
Very
isn't
upfront
it?
About doing that. Yeah. As well, which was good.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. We're up into the ginnel,
in. Yeah.
The spinet, the stylized. No, I haven't got it anymore, have we?
Yeah, I suppose if they went ongoing, they'd have to reappraise up mixing the old and the new thing, because they had Brandon Clary on. I doubt they'd... I don't know, you might be able to get from that generation every week. It could be interesting. Thank you.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there with you. We should have walked that bit, I think.
it could work that get sort of old and the new sort of maybe.
I mean, I felt like of all comedy on TV, I felt probably less jealous than I sometimes do.
Yeah.
For example, never watch Mock the Week.
Yeah.
Because I'm not on it.
Right. Yeah.
And even with it finishing, all my jokes tend to be, who books that? And
yeah.
When are they going to get back to me? But with this, it felt like everyone was either... I was basically in the generation between
in the middle,
the two
yes.
represented generations.
Twixt the two, yeah.
It shows how far apart they are, really, because...
Yeah, it does, yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm young or we're young.
No. But when I started, I used to love Ben Elton.
Yeah.
In his spangly suits going on every week and... laying into thatch.
I think the thing
was great.
I remembered watching him is that he wasn't cool then either.
No, absolutely not.
There was something very kind of teacherish, didactic, and I'm never going to be a rock star about his whole thing. And he's a smart guy, isn't he?
He was always working hard, wasn't he?
No, yeah, exactly. And in the light of...
You knew he was working hard.
...modern thought.
He's
not one of those people, he doesn't really need you to agree with him. He's like, I'll put this out here and let's see what we think of it, you know.
He's not even, I would not describe him as naturally funny. I just think he works on his ideas a lot. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't seem like, if he was at a party, he'd be hilarious.
No.
Do you know what I mean? If you got, oh, hey up, mate. Good to see you. Hey up, love. You all right?
Yeah, that's right. But I think also when I started out in comedy, that was something I noticed, is that the funniest people you know are often not the best stand-ups because they have trouble bottling it.
Yes, yeah.
I think I don't want to blow smoke, you know, where you've been having such a nightmare these last few hours, but... Sorry. But I think that you are someone who's like... naturally clownish but can take it on stage.
Yes,
but
yeah,
I think bottling that up in that way it's difficult. There's a kind of it can lose something in transition.
Yeah.
A couple of people I knew from, like, you know, who were like sort of student age friends who would just be so funny on a weekend evening sitting around the house.
Yes, yeah.
Just make you laugh for hours and hours on end. And then they got into stand-up same time as me. And I'd sit back and go, here we go. Here comes the good stuff. Often it's just because they're so ambitious.
Yeah.
What they were doing was so meta and wild and weird. You do have to... It's a bit more...
You've got to meet people halfway sort of thing, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got to think, what does this room need?
Yeah.
Not, what's the most amazing thing I can do today?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to start with, the nuts and bolts of if where you are and what the purpose of the event is.
If they're not laughing, it's not comedy. If it bends, it's funny. If it breaks, it's not funny.
It's tough, yeah. The funniest people I know aren't comics. They're just like... postman or just people, you know.
Yeah. And again, it's to do with, it's like sometimes, me and my wife, this is kind of a running joke really, because sometimes when you make people laugh, I mean, that's the other thing is whether you set out to make people laugh.
Yeah.
I remember when I started out, I was amazed at how many comedians are very serious the rest of the time.
Yes.
And that's totally their prerogative. But when I started out, I mean, comedy was like just the little outlet for the constant trying to be funny that was my life. So, and of course you pitch to the room you're in. So a number of times I've done a sort of strange and obscure joke for whoever I'm with, and they say, oh, you should do that in your act. And I'm like,
no.
No, that was just for you.
Yeah. I was very serious as a young comic.
Yeah.
Offstage, you know, like I see interviews of myself. It's like I'm so serious. Just want to get hold of him and say, chill out, man.
Yeah, is it?
Relax.
What changed that? It's kids, isn't it? Some kids.
I think just sort of, just time and perspective, you know, just sort of, life's not a battle, you know.
Yeah.
But when I was in my early 20s, it obviously was.
Life's not always empty.
Yeah.
Life's not always empty. Life's not always empty. Spontaneous DC.
Yeah.
Somewhat ironically said. Funnily enough, actually, this connects to something we were talking about after we stopped recording last week. I think, I mean, it took me my whole life to be able to access my serious side,
right,
in front of other people.
Okay.
And I always found that quite difficult because my comedy is a very defensive thing, and I didn't realise that. You know, I thought I was just having fun.
Right.
But I think it comes from a kind of ancient and totally subverted shyness.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
plus, kind of playful defensiveness, deflection.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's such a habit. I like it and everything. And it's ridiculous to think of me as being shy because I'm such an audience seeker and a natural, for want of a less negative term, show off.
Bon vivant.
But, you know, I've realised I can be serious.
Yeah.
And also, sometimes I can even be, this might be hard to imagine, quiet.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's taken me my whole life to get there. But you were saying we seem to be moving in. One of the interesting things about our journey is we're moving in different directions.
I'm probably moving in different directions.
That was running.
I've sort of realised as I get older that people don't really, they're not really interested in other people's thoughts. Especially as you get older. I've reached these conclusions that I'd like to share. Boring!
I should let you know that.
Would you like some advice? No.
You know, I think our listeners would disagree. Thank you, listeners, for being somewhere we can dump all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then when people, it reminds you that people do say,
I'm probably talking about the young generation then.
They don't want to know what
No, of course.
And that's fair enough. They've got to find it for themselves.
Because they've got to learn for themselves.
But I also think that we're probably getting slightly better at when people say that we've inspired them or given them useful advice. Because you guys do say that. And sometimes.
And it's lovely.
Yeah, but I think when it first started happening, we were like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
You listen to us?
Yeah.
Careful. We know nothing. But, yeah, the running wise.
Lovely to hear.
What were we saying? Why were we saying we were moving in opposite directions? I can't really. I think that
you're getting more intentional about trying to get a bit, training and speeds
training
a little bit. And I'm
speeds,
getting less. My early running in the sub-3 was all about intentionality and getting
and
faster. And
I'm thinking of getting a watch and things
Yeah,
like
you're thinking. I'm off watch all the time now.
Yeah.
Getting slower and fatter and eating loads of chilly heat waves.
Loving it.
And you're slimming and buying a watch and doing intervals.
I didn't say I was buying a watch.
Reps.
It's a big commitment.
Yeah.
Watch 2024, I think.
Yeah.
But I think that, and I think there's something that runs really deep there, which we were saying is that even as a kind of, you know, your sub-3 was very much the mature you at work.
Yes.
You know, in terms of everything, not just in terms of the running, but in terms of life and working on yourself and all this stuff. And yet, there's a structure to it, which was born
in my younger days.
In your athletic spaced youth.
Yeah, totally. It felt like a revisitation for me of my sort of teenage self, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That aggression and focus, you know.
I've been thinking about that a lot. I think it's feels like quite a healthy and logical thing to do with the old 5-0.
Yeah.
Is to catch any criminals in Hawaii.
Yeah.
No, it's to look at one's teenage self. Look at the Friday Night Live thing. Look at my kids' age and think about who I was then.
Yes.
Do a kind of bit of a comparison.
Yeah.
See, the funny thing about running, the way that affects my running, it's very different. For you, that means being strict, keeping a diary, knowing your splits, knowing how to hammer out a really fast mile when your legs are tired.
Yeah,
For me, it means listening to a lot of Suiting the Banshees.
Yes, yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
And Bauhaus, which is also really helping by running.
Yeah.
I just remember this tree. Should we try the left-hand platform?
Yeah, let's go left-hand side.
Oh, all my legs.
Ooh, my legs.
So, yeah, I was also talking to the woman who did my massage about the why we speak of. And that is a slightly dangerous spot because I need to really get a bit of clarity on what I'm going to New York for.
Yes. Have you got any ideas?
Well,
I mean, you like going.
It's going to be
good. You like the course, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a...
You like
I feel
being
like
there.
I'm strong enough to run a marathon. But I want to... I want the marathon to be great. On the one hand, I don't want... It's too negative to say, I did it badly before, I'm going to do it better this time.
Yes,
it's
just
too backward-looking.
Yeah.
I think this... I, a couple of guys online were talking about... what's the phrase? Unfinished business. Careful, you're right in here, you know. Don't fall off the platform. Sorry. Yeah! Oh, it's right up. I don't know if I can recommend this technique.
You got snugged.
Did it. Good luck. He's done his over. Come through.
Dry even, wouldn't
it? Yeah. What was I saying?
About unfinished business.
Yeah, I think I see why people say that, but it's just backward. It's negative and backward looking.
Yeah.
You've got to look forward.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff happened in the past.
Yes, yeah.
And, but of course, that's exactly what, if I want to think about it that way, that's not what New York is. So we're dismissing that as a possibility. But the other thing that could go wrong, but I feel it's more on point, is that I think I should try and get quite a good time.
Yeah.
Because I think that will get me around, and I think
yes,
I'm strong
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and if you don't set with that intention, you might sort of wallow into it and get a bit lost.
Yeah. And in whatever happens, if I don't plan, I'll go off too fast.
Yes, yeah.
So in a way, by trying to get a good time, I've got to use the same metric I used in York, i.e. a little bit slower at the beginning, a little bit faster at the end.
Yeah.
So
that sounds solid, yeah.
How long it's going to take, I don't know. Is it... Oh, maybe we'll talk about this next week. But I think maybe I've got to see how recovered I am. But I think that I'll be looking at doing it in a similar time to
yes, York. I think so, yeah. Somewhere
faster than York, maybe not.
Yeah, probably not faster, but somewhere between 3:30 and 3:40 probably.
Yeah, that's what I should look at. Well, we'll cover this once.
We've got some PBs, haven't we?
Drinking again. Let's do some PBs. Allow me to rummage in your marsupial pouch.
We've got some PBs.
PBs! We've got two pages of PBs. Let's do them right now. PBs!
We have Lee Harris, 50K PB of 6 hours and 30, down from 7 hours and 30. That's an hour PB.
Yeah. I don't think that was in an event. I think Lee just went out and
just went out, just took
very,
it upon himself.
Very far.
Fantastic. Fueled by a packet of chilli heat waves.
Yeah, that's how to do it.
Yeah.
Paul Ashton came 17th in the Glasgow to Edinburgh Ultra. I don't know how long that took, but it was good. And it's his first Ultra.
Oh, my goodness. He's right near the front. Friend of the show. Helen Iveson, Royal Park's half, 2 hours and 3 minutes, 25 seconds.
Yeah, look fantastic. Well done, Helen. And I love that Royal Park's half. I'd like to do that again
that's
sometime.
That's great. Another friend of the show.
Helen Thorne,
5K PB, 26 minutes and 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Well done.
Again, that was just her out of running, but it's the fastest 5K amazing. She's ever done.
Adam Allen.
Hey, dog.
Adam
Watch out, we're
Duggan,
going to do the hooting again.
Yorkshire 10 miles. Channels is in a Tonks when the hour looked in doubt. He's beaten 60 minutes for the 10.
Yeah.
That's a real milestone for the club athlete.
It's a 10 milestone.
10 milestone, yeah. It's every mile under 6 minutes. Incredible. 59 minutes and 37 seconds.
That's it took 2 minutes off his PB as
well. Well done, Adam.
And again, see, you got credit for that. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I did that.
Nicola Cartledge, who I was looking for in York, and I'm sure I missed.
Yeah, we thought it was there. We'd go 3 hours and 38 and 30 seconds. Well done, massive PB.
Time,
that's the first marathon, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Crazy quick.
Jonathan Gixxerjit Tucker did the Oxford half marathon. He's Gixxerjit on Twitter. Okay. I don't think you remember being put together. And very happy to get a PB at 61.
PB at 61 feels good, he says. 1 hour 49 and 21 seconds. Well
it's
done,
a huge,
Gixxerjit.
Fantastic time as well. This is the other Town and Gown. It was actually called the Town and Gown 10K, but that was Oxford. And this is Cambridge.
Managed to. We have Andy Latham. Went under 45 minutes for the first time. 43 minutes, 44 seconds. Well done, Andy.
Ha! 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 43 and 44 are under 45. Are you okay? Do you need to go back in the woods?
No, I'm fine. John Lewis, York Marathon, 4 hours and
38. He's busy sorting out his Christmas advert.
Really busy. Well done, John. 4 hours and 35 minutes.
He was saying that he doesn't much like marathons, doesn't like the distance. So I said, oh, it's a shame, maybe doing 10 mile next year. And he said, I've got a PB.
Yeah.
So, well done, John, for handling it right.
Martin Winch.
Yep.
Abingdon. Marathon.
Half marathon, isn't it? Oh, marathon. Sorry.
Inspired by Rob. Never again.
Yeah, inspired by me, got the sub 3:30, but unlike me, doesn't ever plan to run another marathon.
3 hours, 28 minutes and 57 seconds.
It's very big. It's faster than... Hello.
Oh, hello.
Just strolled
up. The dog
up.
Said there seems to be some barking going on. Maybe I could join.
Yes. What's your name? I just wanted to see what your name was, mate. Just trying to read your neck. What's your name? Yoffy. Yoffy.
You're a good dog.
Hey, Yoffy.
You're a good dog.
Yoffy lifts a finger.
You're a good dog.
And a mouse
You're a good
there.
Dog, though I thought she was going to attack us for a second.
Talking of sub 3:30 marathons.
She's come back to attack us
John
again.
Daly, who I believe it was John who gave me my Vaporflies. Thank you, John.
Oh, very kind.
Did the London Marathon. Just a message the other day, because he's just saying, just coming to the end of the come down.
Yeah. And he did it in 3 hours 27. He says, I knew it was going to be overwhelming, but not quite how much.
Absolutely.
Always an intense experience. Yeah. Well done.
And a brilliant, brilliant time. Stuart Patterson did his first ever park run.
Yes, in 24 minutes and 12 seconds.
Very
at Swift.
Speed,
well done, Stu Pott. Can we call you Stu Pott?
I wish you.
Stoop.
Stoop.
Neil Taylor, Marine Parade, Heston Park run.
Western
Supermare Park run, 20 minutes and 25. Looking for sub 20, got to move a little bit faster.
Knocked off 25 seconds there, though, so halfway
needs
there.
Another 25.
This is, and then Amy Wamey.
That's all we know in terms of a surname.
But first park run, having turned 50, was a PB.
Oh, wow.
Pim's park run of 23:21.
Well done, Amy.
Nicola Fox Sims did it's another Royal Parks half PB, a 4
awesome.
Minute PB of
55 minutes and 39 seconds. Well, the Nicola Fox Sims.
And those are. We'll put some cold in then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.